Hello, everybody, and welcome to this month's Diamond Teleclass. It is the end of July in the year of our Lord 2020, and the general consensus among Diamond and Platinum members is that things are returning to the new normal, and we are going fully into it. So today, I wanted to talk about the power of positioning in your marketing. There are four elements of positioning. We'll be going through them all if we have time. If not, it'll spill over into another teleclass. But this is some of this stuff you will have heard me mention before. A lot of this stuff you will be aware of me practicing and exhibiting in my own marketing positioning. And the reason why positioning plays such a strong thread that runs through my marketing is that my previous business mentor, the evil ball genius John McCulloch, he was probably one of the world's leading exponents of premier positioning, really. So this isn't something that you will often hear. You won't hear many other marketers talking about this at all. But these marketers will usually be content spewing, Facebook like chasing, woo-woo, unicorn fart eating, social media loving gurus, in inverted commas, who think that, you know, the law of attraction is about just giving everything away in your business, and you'd be nice to everybody, and, you know, the wonderful things will happen to you. Well, I'm sorry to tell you that they won't, you know. And people will treat you in your business as you allow them to treat you. So you set the parameters for the business. You set the rules of engagement. You set the tone for what the relationship is going to be now and in the future. And it is incumbent upon you to reset the rules as well and reset the parameters and remind the client, if not constantly, certainly consistently, that this is your business, this is how you intend to run business, and if they want to remain a client of yours, then they need to book up or bugger off. And the more you embrace this in your business, the better your results will be. Now, the trick with positioning is you almost have to fake it until you make it. So some people, this comes to them very, very easily. Some people resist this massively. For some of you on this call now, this potentially will be the most important thing that you need to fix in your business. So how your business is currently positioned to your existing clients, to the prospects that are looking at you, deciding if you are the service provider for them, how you are positioned is the most important thing. It is more important than the lead magnet or the book that you're working on or the extra upsell that you are putting together that you are intending to sell to them. Positioning is the most important thing. It is like a price increase, really. So changing your positioning can cause you to be very fearful of the results that of the consequences that are going to occur when you adopt an attitude of being the business owner who has adopted premier positioning. And it is almost as fearful as, if not more fearful than pricing, than increasing your prices. It goes hand in hand with pricing as well. You can't really talk about premier positioning when you are charging poor prices. And as I discovered with my own business, really, you almost inadvertently adopt a premier positioning stance when you adopt premium pricing. And the example that I'll give you is when I launched my Pack Leader Dog Adventures back in 2011, it was slow to start, obviously, but then I gradually attracted some fantastic clients, many of whom referred more fantastic clients to me. And I avoided a lot, if not all, of the penny-pinching, morny-arsed, never-happy, bottom-of-the-ocean, shit-eating clients that a lot of the dog walkers seemed to be attracting in the various Facebook groups that I was popping in now and again. I avoided all of them by adopting premium pricing. Don't get me wrong, I've had one or two, in inverted commas, problem clients over the years, but not many. I'm talking about, a handful, if that, in 9 years. So this has never really been a problem for me. I've never had a problem with late pays. Never had a problem with people messing me around, expecting too much, taking me for granted, really. I would honestly say, I've never really thought about it as much as this before, but when I'm talking about my business journey, as I have in the Crooked Path to Success Diamond Letter, which you will all have received this month, when I talk about my business journey, I often cite the fact that I premium pricing was a key factor in me being able to try lots of different things in my business, test different things, lose money at times. Being premium helped me to do that, because cash flow has never really been an issue. I've never been a business ending issue for me. Similarly, premier positioning has done that as well. And I have been able to take on projects that I would say most 99.9% of business owners would have been too afraid to do, because they would have lacked the confidence and not have enough faith in the results that they were going to get. Whereas the sort of premier position and attitude that I have, like I said, learned from John, or inadvertently implemented in my own business anyway through premium pricing, I have learned from John, and I have practiced diligently in my own business now. All of my businesses has also been a key factor in the success that I've had, and the things that I have planned for the rest of the year and next year as well. They are also codependent on my premier positioning tactics. So what is premier positioning? Well, premier positioning is essentially how you carry yourself in your business and how you are perceived in the wider world. And this is kind of should be incredibly liberating, because this is not dependent in any way upon how good you are at the thing that you do, how good you are at even marketing the thing that you do. The positioning can carry you like a long way. Another very quick story about the power of positioning, really, is, as you know, when a new competitor crops up in my town, I often check their prices, and if they're lower priced than me, then I know that they are a loser and I don't need to worry about them. Because if my clients were going to choose a different dog walker, well, they would have chosen a different dog walker who was cheaper than me long before now. And this happened, periodically checking the Google business pages, and one day a pet business cropped up who actually just lived around the corner from me. And when I went and looked on her website, I noticed she was actually charging, she wasn't charging as much of me for watering, but she was charging higher prices than me for boarding. And well, I looked a bit closer and I couldn't quite understand why. Anyway, turns out she was actually mad. She was actually crackers. She was a bit of an alky crackpot. And therefore, I knew somebody, actually Hannah, who worked for me, actually she knew her, or knew of her anyway, so that was how I did actually know this. This wasn't just me just thinking someone was crazy. She was actually a crackpot, you know, and obviously had mild psychotic tendencies, hence the hence her inadvertently adopting a premier position and attitude. But that has never happened. That has never happened before or since. You may know, actually, this is a sort of power of confidence, I guess, in a way. You may know of, you may have a friend, or there may be another pet business in your town, or there may be just somebody that you've come across in another business, and they don't really have much about them. So this may be somebody who you may not necessarily respect their work, and you may not think that they are very talented, but you have a sneaky admiration for their confidence. And it is evident to you that their confidence is pretty much the only thing that they have, maybe up upon you. That what they have, you know, have one. If they have one over on you, it's in the confidence stakes. Right now, I think this is a little bit dangerous because confidence alone will, confidence alone and zero skills will is a bad recipe, basically. However, that does not stop the person who has the confidence, you know, they don't care about not knowing the thing. And yeah, just, you know, you be thinking there now, sitting there now thinking, actually, yes, I do know somebody like that. Well, yeah, I do too, you know, and that is a prime example of the fake it till you make it attitude. So I think my example of that would be people who I worked with in my previous job at Imperial Tobacco. So I could see that they had zero selling skills. They had zero people skills, but they had seemed to have a wealth of self-assurance about the fact that they should get the promotion, you know? And hence the reason why I never really got the promotion. You know, either my face didn't fit or I wasn't confident enough or... usually it was my face didn't fit, which that probably won't surprise you either, because I was a bullshit bastard even then. But yeah, this confidence factor is a big thing, you know. Premier position is about your inner game. It's about how you carry yourself. It's about how you want to be perceived, how you want your business to be perceived by the world. Now, a lot of this does come from you and inside of you, but there are a lot of things that you can put in place, external factors that you can put in place in your business to help position you as an expert, to help position you as the top dog in your town, to help position you as somebody who should be respected, you know, somebody who should be respected, somebody who won't be messed around. These are good things to be known for, okay? I should probably play this game next time we're on a thing, but you know, I'll play this game the next time I'm on a Q&A in the Gold Group or on one of the programs that I'm running, because I always like to know, you know, what do people know about me when they learn about me, when they come into my world, or when people talk about me, what do they want to know about me, you know? And you know, the general things that come back are, you know, he's down to earth, he doesn't take any shit, calls a spade, he's incredibly successful. Whether I am or I aren't is up for debate and, you know, open to interpretation by whatever measurement you're using. And also that, you know, he's always right. This is the other thing that they say, you know, Dom is always right. Well, obviously I'm not right all of the time. I think there was a time when it was raining in 2002, I said it was raining and it just stopped. A bad joke. But no, but you know, the reason why I'm right is that I'm right much more often than I'm wrong when it comes to helping you guys with your businesses, because I have a success system that I'm following, you know. I have a set of rigid principles that I run my business by, and this is what I judge your business by too. So if you come to me with an idea, I'm not frightened to say, well, have you thought about this? Have you done that? Or, you know, why don't you do this first? Or, yes, that's a great idea, but you need to do these three things first to make that a success. Because of the experience that I've had with my own business and observing other people's businesses and mentoring hundreds of pet business owners as well over the last kind of 3 or 4 years. But anyway, these are the things that people come back to me with when they know about me. You similarly should have things that people know about you, that they instinctively know about you. And one of the things that you should want them to know about you is that you are premium, you are an expert, you are not to be messed around, your time is very precious. That's another one people say about me, you know. Hey, Dom, I know you're very busy, but always, people preface every email sending that to me. And I am very busy, you know, but I go to great lengths and I take great pains to communicate the fact to everybody that I'm busy, you know. Why do I do that? Well, then I do that because when someone gets an appointment with me, they can't believe their fucking luck, you know. And it makes my service more valuable. The scarcity of Dom makes the prospect of working with Dom more valuable. Well, you can do exactly the same thing with your business as well. So let's talk about these four vital elements of you, really, you know, the four vital elements of you. Because the big thing to remember about positioning is that your personality is inextricably linked to it. So it's very difficult to have a highly positioned position on anything unless you are involving deeply your own personality in your marketing. Now, some of you are well on the way to doing this already. Some of you have dipped your toe in the water. Some of you are just sort of, this is just sinking in and you're just understanding this is a big part of the business. But as I mentioned at the start, and I mentioned on a recent Platinum call talking to Sarah Stevens about her positioning in her business. We have tons of ideas for the business. She's struggling to, has been struggling to remove herself from the day-to-day of the business. Partly that's due to the staff being up because of furlough. But you know, a lot of the things getting in the way of price increases and stuff like that is down to the positioning, you know. And Sarah is a great example of somebody who I've said to her, you know, the positioning is the thing that we need to crack. Because once we do that, then a lot of the stuff will just fall into place automatically. And she'll carry herself so much better, which will mean that she will be more confident in taking action on all of the things that need to be done to move her business forward, you know. And she's well on the way to doing that now. But yeah, personality is a key factor in your marketing. Now, again, this is something that I used to practice before even knowing what it was, really. Relationship marketing, personality marketing. I used to practice this at Imperial Tobacco. So I learned through the sales training that I got there and also through my own trial and error, and just because of the way that I am in general with people when I'm conversing with them. So when you're entering a call, when I was entering a shop to sell some cigarettes, sort of the last thing you would do is to pull out your briefcase with your presenter file in and start selling, you know. You would do first is you would have quite an open question, you know, like, how are you? How are you? How's business? You know, how's the family? Anything new been happening lately like this? And I'm fishing for information, anything at all that I can latch onto to then take the conversation down another pathway, you know. Now, I used to spend quite a bit of time doing this type of thing, and I used to spend quite a lot of time, when time permitted, finding out more about the clients and stuff. And in fact, the company was great for encouraging that. You know, our best clients, they used to encourage us to take them to football matches and for nights out and, you know, golfing trips and all this kind of thing as well. We used to take them to sporting events. Obviously, Imperial Tobacco used to, like our competition, Gallagher's, they used to sponsor a lot of big sporting events like cricket and darts, snooker, this kind of thing. So they used to... We used to get a lot of free tickets, that kind of thing as well. And this relationship thing was a big thing, you know. And that's what I was really good at. I was really good at building the relationships with the clients. You know, and I always used to have kind of they're always out of a route of like 250, 300 stores, there always used to be a, you know, two or three knobheads, maybe not many, one or two knobheads on your route who you just could not do anything with ever. You know, they were just like complete tosspots who hated my guts. And I also, with these guys, I used to take a great pride in like not letting them affect my attitude. So because obviously I'd been acting and stuff as well my whole life, it was very easy for me to go in and, you know, even when they were giving me daggers and like treating me like shit and like telling me to, you know, move out the way of the client and stuff like that whilst I was doing my survey, I wouldn't let it affect my personality, you know, and I would just be really happy and smiley and, you know, hey, is there anything else I can do for you today? You know, and then, and that, like I said, that was a big part of my success with the company, you know, without blowing my trumpet too much, there was a lot of things I wasn't very good at with the company as well, the details things, believe it or not, but the stuff that I was good at, that was the stuff that mattered, you know, and so this personality factor, personality marketing was a big thing, and you really do, the more you put your personality into your marketing, the more you stand up for, the more you have opinions and you stand up for them, the more you communicate your values, the more you do anything you can to create connections with dog owners in your town, and bring them closer to you, get them curious about you, the easier it is to grow your business and the harder it is for the competition to actually copy what you do. You know, I've mentioned this very recently, you know, we've had, I have lots of gurus on my list. I have gurus on my list, and I could kick them off, obviously, but, you know, I just think, well, they'd probably find another way to join up with a different IP or something, so I let them sit there. And it's really fun to see them talking about, to see them taking stuff from my emails and copying and stuff, you know? So we've got one guru who is like talking about time, you know, and how everybody's, you know, got enough time for the business and time for this and that, you know, well, that, where's she getting that from? She used to talk about that before. She gets from Dom's emails, you know? There's another one who just the other week I posted something about, you know, piss pot gurus just doing social media marketing, not doing anything else. Sure enough, a post crops up in a group, you know, hey, I've had a few ideas for some other things we can do than social media to grow the business. Watch this space kind of thing, you know, and like, it's comical. Now, the thing is, obviously, whatever they do is going to be secondhand anyway. And whatever that your competition copy of you, it's going to be secondhand anyway. But they're never really going to be able to copy you effectively if you put tons of you into your marketing. Now, what I think, I know for a lot of you who've been in my world for quite some time, that in and of itself might not be new news to you. But what will be a good reminder for you is to remember to really push your personality elements as much as you can all of the time. The different elements of your personality, sorry, as much as you can all of the time. So the good, the bad, and the ugly, yeah? I'm constantly sharing good, bad, ugly all of the time, you know? So I'll post, obviously I can never enough talk about the store, the failure of the online store. It was almost worth my online store failing, me losing £15,000, just so that I could talk about my store failing and me losing £15,000. Yeah, why do I do that? Well, I share that because it shows that business is not in a straight line, you know, and it obviously it genuinely happened as well, and you know it shows that I've come back from something that hasn't worked. It shows my resilience, I guess, as well. It shows that I've learned through. trial and error and through some really harsh lessons that, you know, thinking the best about your business and having great intentions is not enough for your business to succeed. So yeah, share lots of things like that, share stuff. Even more recently, got myself into a little bit of a pickle last year, the beginning of last year, with my being late registering for VAT. You know, so that is something that could have potentially been a big issue. It did result in a much larger than expected and certainly a much larger than wanted tax bill. But, you know, partly it was because I was late registering, partly it was because I'd had a particularly good year as well, so I can't complain too much about it. It wasn't like I hadn't been paying taxes for like 5 years or anything. It was purely because I'd had a pretty good year and I was late with the VAT registration and subsequent payments. So why do I talk about something like that? Well, again, it shows a flaw, doesn't it? You know, it shows a flaw in my character, and a mistake that I have made. And everybody makes mistakes. Everybody's shit stinks, even the Queen's. And the more you show your good points and your bad points and your ugly points, the more you're going to pull people towards you who are a good fit for you and push people away from you who are a fucking terrible fit for you, you know? I've been practicing this stuff for quite a while now, and I can say without any shadow of doubt, I fucking love working with you guys and the Platinum members. And I'm really looking forward to rolling out the next level of the mastermind as well and starting the individual private coaching sessions as well with new pet business owners too. So I have a new number. Why am I looking forward to that? Well, because I'm going to love working with these people. Yeah, I have zero time, zero patience for pain in the ass, you know, wannabe, whingy, time-wasting fucking pet business owners. Or anybody for that matter. I mean, fucking hell. Friends and family even, you know what I mean? But especially anybody, you know, there's nobody like that in these groups, you know? And my values don't change. I mean, my values do change. That's not strictly true. But my, you know, my core values, my core principles, they don't really change. So why not? Well, because they've served me very, very well to get me where I am now. And they've also served my PBIC members very well as well. You'll hear a lot of PBIC members talking about similar successes with, you know, increasing prices, getting more clients, much better quality of clients that they're offering. Carol Clark, the doggy doctor, recently attended the first session in my summer boot camp program. And it was all about premium pricing. A lot of stuff on there Carol will have heard before at boot camps. But, you know, she turns up because she knows that all of this, these fundamentals are a great reminder. And Carol found the module inspiring enough for her to go and increase her prices by 20% again. Now, I would say not apart from the sort of second, apart from the second business within a business that Carol is building now, which is more of a kind of a medium long-term project, really, although it will have some immediate results. That is, that nothing apart from that, nothing apart from that is going to have the biggest effect on Carol's business this year. You know, that price increase alone, it's going to give Carol more confidence to push through with this new business, with the business idea. It's going to make her more money, which is ultimately why we're in business, yeah, is, and why we're studying marketing, why we are students of direct response marketing, and we are following these PBIC pitbull principles that I live my life by, because we want to build a better business. We want to have better clients, and Carol will see this as well, you know. Carol will start to come onto the radar of lots of people who currently aren't even interested in the services. And she'll have upsells and everything and that there as well. So yeah, it's fantastic to see. But you know, this stuff doesn't just work for me. Works for anybody who has the balls or the lady balls to go for it as well. So yeah, let's go through these four vital elements then. Personality is the first one. And I talked about this in, I think it was a recent facts that I wrote. The higher up the income ladder you want to go, is much more important is who you are rather than what you do. And who you are is communicated through the personality traits that you tell people about in your marketing. A lot of people shy away from this because they think it's unprofessional. They think that we're going to put people off from contacting them about their services and stuff. They're just shy, you know, but it, you know, trust me, this is like business relationships, you know, people buy into you before they buy from you, and they won't buy into you until they know more about you, you know, and they can't know more about you until they share more about you. So a couple of things that have been absolute game changers. Love that word. Hate that word, actually, but I'm using it anyway. A couple of things which have been game changers and are consistently cut through the clutter to bring people further into my world are the stories that I tell in my marketing, okay? And, you know, I talk about chickens and, you know, talking about stepping in chicken shit and, you know, talking about having a barbecue and, you know, drinking beer. And the recent one which really resonated once again is the story of me and Beth hooking up, you know, how me and Beth hooked up and, you know, Beth thought I was a complete arsehole the first time that she met me. Now, because you've heard that is a good story, and I use it to help me to get the point across about how follow-up is so crucial to your business. Well, that story on its own, if you think about it, it's not a great story from my point of view, is it? Yeah, because like she met me and she thought I was an asshole, you know. Now this was not like love at first sight, you know. Our eyes did not meet across a tray of Soleros, yeah. This was a make or break time of the relationship that only was, you know, if I had no other way of communicating with Beth apart from working with her and being next to her and be able to convince her that actually I was not an arsehole. Actually I am not an arsehole. I'm actually a fantastic person. Then that wouldn't have happened, you know. But it's still a great story, you know. It's a great story. It's a great personal story. It tells them so much. A story like that tells people what I used to do before. So if we think about the story, okay, so when I'm telling a story like that, I'll tell it now and then you get it. So I say, when I left school, all I wanted to do was perform and sing and dance and stuff. I used to be a song and dance man. Okay, so bang, straight away, there's a useful little bit of information. There's an interesting part of the story. So anybody who has anybody who has ever done something like that before, done any kind of performing before, they immediately have a little bit of kinship with me then, okay? Anybody who has a child who's going to dancing lessons and stuff like that, they also have a little bit of kinship with me now, just from that one little bit of fact from the story. Then I say, but I was at college and I needed to earn some cash, so I got a job selling ice creams in the local theatre. Now, everybody likes ice cream, so there's another connection. Well, most people like ice cream anyway. There's another connection. Everyone's been skint once upon a time as a teenager, so again, there's another connection. And then I go on to talk about how Beth started working there at the same time as me. I talk about the fact she was she's a bit older than me. She had a boyfriend at the time. We started to work together. I thought she was way out of my league, you know. So already you're building a picture of like, fucking hell, who is this? Who is this mystery woman, you know? And it's got intrigue. The story's got intrigue, yeah. And then I'm talking about, we worked together. I told her all about me. I thought it went fantastically well. She told me later that she thought I was a complete arsehole. you know. And then again, this resonates with people, because then people are listening to the story thinking, oh, actually, yeah, like I thought you were an asshole too, Dom. But now I'm wondering whether there's actually something else beneath the surface that I might need to continue. I might need to delve a little bit further here, you know. And then I go on to tell the story about follow-up, which, again, that's very instructive, because when I'm telling a story like that, a lot of people don't even know what follow-up is. Like, you guys know what follow-up is. 90% of pet business owners out there, they don't know what it is. Marketing to them is posting pictures on Facebook, you know? So if you said to them, what would you have done to market your business before Facebook was invented, they would be, you know, you would be crickets, basically. You would hear crickets, and there would be no answers, you know, and they would probably say something like, oh, I don't know, maybe I wouldn't been able to have launched a business. Maybe I would have just had to have a job instead, because, you know, there's no way to market your business without Facebook, which we know not to be true. So don't think nobody will be interested in your story. And add salient details to your stories too. All of your stories to get their interest, basically, you know? To get them... You really don't know what's going to hook people in and be the thing that's going to be the connection. I had recently had a lady join the PBIC, who saw a post about me in, I think it was Rachel's group, Rachel's Facebook group, and she bought an Inspire ticket, and then she bought the bundle, and then she got a book in the post, and a chocolate bar, etc. And obviously on the side of the chocolate bar it says, you know, this chocolate bar features my first dog to Bordeaux, Barry, who was inspiration for my business, etc., you know, enjoy the chocolate. Well, she had a dog to Bordeaux as well, you know, so that is and she contacted me, sent me a picture, said, oh my God, like, I need to know more about this person, you know, I need to know more about this guy, you know. She felt like I had been, you know, it was divine inspiration, the angels had sent me to help her fix her pet business. Now, that may be true, it may not be true, I'll certainly do my best, but the connection in that case was the very obvious one of the dog de Bordeaux. Now, some of the connections that you make with your clients won't be as obvious as that, okay? This is why you have to include more things in your general communications with your list and with your clients in general to get them moving closer towards you. Okay, that's probably a pretty good example of it there. So personality is key, and you really want to be thinking, the guys who've written books, you know, this is something that I bang on about all the time, you know, it's like it needs more personality, and, you know, include as much as you want, include everything that you're comfortable with, and yeah, the more you include, the more kind of connections that you'll make. But it doesn't just apply to your book, it applies to, you know, everything else as well. Personality marketing, okay? Personality marketing is key, and you need to embrace it. It's not without its trepidations, you know? It's not the easiest thing to start doing, but... You know, especially now, guys, I mean, this is true, you know, positioning and putting your personality into your marketing is valid forever and has been valid forever. But think about what's happening now with COVID and the lockdowns and the local lockdowns and the potentials for more lockdowns. And even if there aren't any lockdowns at all and there is no second wave, you know, there's a feeling of disconnect at the moment, you know, and the only way, or one of the best ways anyway, for you to bust through the barrier is to use your personality more in your marketing, you know, and you'll be really surprised how quickly people will plug into you. People will hook into you and they'll want to know more, you know? So yeah, do it. Everybody should be doing this with all aspects of their marketing. All right, section two, part two of principle two, if you like, of positioning is you're in a game. Now, again, this is something that John was fantastic at, and it is something that this has definitely been a powerful driving force for me, and especially this year with the money mindset daily. What can I call it? Self-help, I suppose, that I've been doing over the last 3 or 4 months. This is the inner game factor is coming back. This is one of the reasons why I'm talking about positioning now, because it's I know it's going to be such a good reminder for me. This is about like the foundations, really, you know, and this is where the kind of fake it till you make it attitude comes in, and the understanding, which might be a shock to some of you now, that this is your business, these are your rules, okay? You decide your own worth in the business, you decide what you can charge, your clients don't set your prices, your competitors don't set your prices, the market doesn't set your prices, your dog training associations don't set the prices, you set the price, all right? And you don't need anybody's permission or approval to charge what you like. Now, this can bring with it a whole host of internal and external objections. So your own internal objections will be whatever your programming has been since you were a child, really. Well, not just then, though, you know, but it is important what you grew up with and how you... what your thoughts were about money, what was imprinted on you about money. You know, fair days work for a fair day's pay, you know, don't be greedy, money doesn't grow on trees, all this kind of thing. This can have a deep psychological impact on you and on your ability to charge premium prices. And this is where the sort of habit builder, part of why I'm introducing the habit builder into the Platinum program, is because I've seen how effective this has been for me doing daily work on my own kind of money mindset, you know. And the more I embrace a mindset of abundance about money, really, and I'm not talking about, you know, fucking woo-woo manifesting the money, think positive, I'm talking about having a mindset of abundance rather than a poverty mindset, and that then leading me to take actions that put me in the way of places where money is going to flow, is crucial. And it, again, it's not just what happens to you in your childhood. I did a very, very recent, in the last fortnight, I did a call with a PBIC member who has been hanging, a new PBIC member who has been hanging around on the outskirts of my world for a long time now. And it was one of those similar to the situation that I talked about in the Platinum Pink really this month, where she basically created a business where it was virtually impossible for her to make much money. And she was like really busy and she was working long hours already and she was still earning like next to nothing, you know? So we had to have the difficult conversation about pricing, and she was up for it. She sounded up for it at first. And then she said something about like, oh, there'll be some resistance about the pricing. And I said, and I knew there was only her in the business anyway. And I said, well, the clients, they'll have to like it or lump it, because, you know, you can't continue, can you, doing it the way that you're running at the moment? And she agreed and that, you know, and then it kind of came back to it again. I said, well, where's this resistance coming from, you know? And she sort of under her breath said like, oh, my other half, you know, my other half. And I said, well, what, you know, this is confidential, but like what's been said, you know, to stop you from doing this? And what's been said is stuff like, You can't just charge 20% extra without, you know, improving the service by 20% or more. And this is the kind of thing that people are surrounded by all the time. And if you are living with someone, or you are being influenced by, or you are even maybe voluntarily hanging around with people who have this kind of mindset, it is going to massively hold you back. Some people never recover from this kind of thing either, you know? So I've had one or two clients in the past where we've increased prices, and they've rang me one week saying, you know, everything's going fantastically well. This client and this client said no problem. And then maybe so, you know, another week down the line, the client number four has complained about it. And then, you know, they've maybe had a chat with their partner and decided that, told them what's happening, and then it's like the whole thing's crumbled like a house of cards. And it's not because my methods are wrong, you know, because we know that this works. It's because their methods are wrong. And I think that just very, very briefly touching upon the whole kind of money mindset thing, you really need to get this stuff sorted in your head, because the damage that can be done, as we've just discussed, the damage that can be done by people being a negative influence on you can really put the blockers on you achieving everything that you are capable of achieving in your business. And like I mentioned a few times over the last 3 or 4 months about this opportunity at the moment being massive. The truth is, if your marketing's down pat, and you've got lead generation pumping, you've got upsells in place, you know, you've got services that lead from one to the other, and continuity and upsells and ascension, and you've got offline and online marketing systems pumping as well. And some of you won't have that yet. I know you won't have all that yet, but you will if you fucking do the work. Once you have all that pumping, the sky is fucking the fucking limit for what you are capable of earning in your business, you know. And again, it comes back to what I talked about Carol's thing of just whacking 20% on the prices, you know. This is like nothing's going to have the impact of that. Well, guess what? If Carol continues to do what you're doing now, she's going to be able to do that again. Maybe by the end of the year. These are for training clients as well, remember. So there's no, if demand continues, there's nothing stopping Carol doing that again before the end of the year, or even after the summer, or doing it again early next year. And the same thing is, you're capable of doing the same things in your business as well. Yes, we need to get the marketing right. We're going to talk about positioning and expert status in a moment, and how we communicate that. But it's what goes on between your ears has a massive impact on the amount of money that you have in your bank account, you know. And very, very often, we are in our own way when it comes to earning the kind of money that we want. Few of you mentioned recently about financial goals, about lacking financial goals. This is like this key starting point. You know, you need to know where you're at now, and then you need to have a goal where you want to go, and then we just figure out how to get there. Yeah, the figuring out part is the fun bit. It's a scary part, I get that, but like you'll be amazed what you can achieve if you put your mind to it. If your mind is ready if your mind is ready to believe that you are capable of achieving these things. Drop my little thing that's holding up my phone there, so pick that back up now. So your business, your rules. You don't need permission from anyone else or approval to set the rules in your business. You're not required as well to take responsibility for other people's problems. Their needs, their emergencies, their lack of planning or whatever, this is not your problem, you know. I get this sometimes, occasionally, especially when I do something like the challenge, you get a few people will slip through the net without understanding what the rules of engagement are in Dom's business, you know. And they might message me on Facebook, or they might, you know, send me an email telling me their opinion about something, as I've been sharing with you guys recently. These guys get short shrift, you know, about that. This is not their opinions matter little to me, if matter not at all to me. Not two fucks are given about most people's opinions. And it's okay to be a bit cocky about your business as well. So yeah, you're in a game. You're in a game that needs working on, and we'll be doing, we'll be touching upon this in the Diamond Foundations program for sure. I'll be sharing in the Foundations program some ways that everybody should be. I want it to be like a reminder, and like it says, a foundation for how you take your business to the next level. But I'm also going to be almost providing like a tick list of things that you need to have in place to start creating this image of you as being, you know, the top positioned pet pro in your town. So that's your inner game. That's your inner game. And like I say, we'll go into more detail about that on the Diamond Foundations program. The principle three is alpha positioning. This is so interesting for me to go back over this, because these are the things that I talked about in my very, very, very first Grow Your Pet Business Fast seminar. So the Grow Your Pet Business Fast seminar actually contains a lot more of the fundamentals, these type of principles, than the second Grow Your Pet Business Fast seminar does, you know? And interesting that I'm returning more to that now. But this alpha, not like roll your dog over and hit him overhead with a rolled up newspaper alpha, but you know, you really do want to be thinking of yourself, positioning yourself as the top dog, okay? Once you start thinking about your business and your services as being desirable or the best, it gives you tremendous power, you know, it gives you tremendous confidence, and it gives you tremendous power, and that is incredibly attractive as well, you know. So if you know that you have the best daycare, the best training package, the best dog walking service, the best grooming service, whatever it is, if you know and you believe that, and you communicate that as well, and you make it known that you are, you know, not in the business of entertaining wallies and cheapskates and people who aren't prepared to do the work and stuff like that, that is incredibly attractive to the people who are prepared to stand by your, to live by your and do business by your rules. You know, you project this, you project it through your actions as well. So how you allow people to communicate with you is key. We had this very recently with Curry, where Curry was Curry Lawson was being she basically had too many lines of communication open in the business, and it was causing a real headache with obviously keeping on top of correspondence with people and stuff, because some people had WhatsApp, some people had email, some people have Messenger, and you know, the easiest way to do it is just to funnel them all into one place. Let a VA take over it, and only let the VA feed onto you the really important stuff that is for your eyes only, that you need to make a decision on. Now, this obviously involves you creating systems and processes for the VA to be able to screen messages and stuff as well. But hey, this is just a process that you have to go through. It's 100% worth it. You really need to I guess a lot of this comes down to personal responsibility. This is a theme that runs through not just my pet business training and coaching consultant services, but also my dog training, you know. I put a big emphasis upon personal responsibility with how you live your life with your dog as well. And once you put the onus back onto yourself, you know, so once you, this is the example that I gave with the dog training in worry-free walks, is, you know, once you accept that how your dog behaves in public and how responsive he is to a recall with you and all that kind of thing, once you take responsibility for that, it's actually really really encouraging, really liberating. And you can, because you can actually do something about it. You know, you can start taking chopped up hot dogs to the park with you. You can choose to not let him off lead when that stupid man who, you know, you always see in the park says, oh, just let them play for 5 minutes. You know, this is you, your, it's your responsibility then. And I knew this with, this is the story that I tell about Derek. When I had to take responsibility for Derek's air biting was because I didn't want him to do it anymore, you know. And yes, it pissed some people off who wanted to say hello to him and touch him. And it even pissed some people off who knew him as well a little bit. But I wanted to get, I wanted Derek to be safe. I wanted me to be safe. And I knew I had to take responsibility for that. Now, it's exactly the same thing happens with your business. Once you accept the fact that you are earning the amount of money that you are earning because you are attracting the kind of clients that you want to attract, once you accept that you are, you know, you have shit clients, or you are struggling to move them on to higher price services because they aren't the kind of clients who can afford those services. Once you accept the responsibility for that, well, again, this is incredibly liberating. You can actually do something about that. Again, it starts off with what goes on between your ears before it starts anywhere else, but it still has to start there. And again, you've heard me a number of times now cautioning against spending your time in, you know, what I consider to be fluffy, just sort of podcasty type content, memberships and stuff, where you might have a laugh and you might even enjoy the content even, you know, but I don't confuse that with actually an activity that's going to make you more money, you know. Well, a lot of you, I think, would be way better off spending more time working on this in a game and thinking of ways that you can position yourself as the guru, you know, as the expert at the top of the mountain. You should have rules in your business. You should have rules, and you should restate the rules as well. I'm not afraid to restate the rules in my business, especially as the PBIC continues to grow. If anything, the rules get tighter, the rules get stronger. And, you know, why? Because when my time becomes more precious, you know, and I can't have my time, afford to have my time wasted by anybody. So yeah, again, we'll go through in the Diamond Foundations program, we'll go through some, a bit of a tick list of ways that you can make yourself appear to be the king at the top of the mountain. But you'll be amazed what happens when you just, when you, been a lot of talk lately, hasn't there, about the vaccine with the COVID and, you know, immunity and herd immunity and all this kind of thing. One kind of immunity that you really need to cultivate is an immunity to criticism. And I'm in a stronger position mentally than I've ever been here now. After a couple of what could have been potential knocks to my own confidence and doubts in my own philosophy this year, I have gone back to cultivating an attitude of being immune to criticism, you know. This is not to say either that I'm never wrong or that I don't learn from my mistakes, because I do. But who you listen to for criticism matters massively. A great example of that would be the lady who, out of the blue, you know, contacted me and told me that she didn't agree with one of my impact speakers. You know, like, I give a fuck about that. There've been other incidents as well where this has happened. You know, people criticize them. You have to have real beliefs in your own principles and the way that you run business. And you have to restate the rules as well. You do have to grow a thick spine, and ignore those who try and bring you down. It will happen. You know, the more you put your head above the parapet, the more knocks you're going to take. Might come from clients, might come internally from relationships that you have with friends and family, might just come from what's going on in your own head, might come from random strangers. Yeah, this criticism is going to come, trust me, it's a good thing, okay? Didn't feel like it at the time, we all wish it wouldn't happen, but trust me, it's a good thing, you know? should be aiming to piss people off with stuff, you know? Thing is, people are going to be pissed off anyway. Some people. Some people just aren't, you know, even if you were the most perfect business owner who never upsets anybody and you deliver amazing services, some people still aren't going to like you. They just aren't, you know? So they might as well not like you and know exactly what it is that you stand for. Principle number four is the power of expert status, really. And I'm not going to go too deeply into this because, again, this is something that I'm going to be covering on the Diamond Foundations program. But essentially, being published, having published materials, having paper and ink materials that you share with your audience that enhances your expert status, that positions you as the top dog, that demonstrates how amazing you are and why they should invest in your services. This is a massive part of how you achieve expert status. And please don't mistaken sort of general media coverage for this as well. Yes, media coverage can be fantastic, and as long as you're talking about it again in your own marketing, then it's an absolute winner. But you'll actually gain very little in the way of direct sales from media coverage, general media coverage that you get, unless you leverage it. I've certainly noticed with my stuff, so I'm, you know, regularly been on the radio and stuff like that, but it rarely results in much more actual direct sales. What it does do is, obviously, it gives us something to talk about in our marketing, and it gives you a bit of an uplift in the backlinks to your website where people can go and find you online and stuff like that. But the thing with that is, as well, is if you're doing direct response marketing and you're building a tribe and you're putting people onto a list, that's less important anyway, you know? So yeah, don't mistake in sort of wide media coverage for really niched expert status defining documents like a book and stuff that are going to just make you seem like you're the dog's bollocks to a small-ish group of people. And you can make a lot of money from a smallish group of people in your town, city, or even online who love what you do, they value your opinions, they bought into your philosophy, and they therefore want to continue to invest in the various services that you put in front of them. So yeah, we'll go more into that another time. But that concludes today's Diamond Teleclass. I hope you took a lot of value from this. Please listen to this several times because a lot of the principles that I talked about in this are real game changers. Real game changers to your business. And yeah, I look forward to going into this in more detail in the Diamond Foundations program. If any of you are wanting to move forward faster with your business plans, if you are tired of not getting enough stuff done in your business, of if you feel stuck, if you I think most people are probably just lacking a bit of clarity and are lacking the time to get everything done in their business, well, trying to fix that with the Platinum Health, Wealth and Happiness Habit Building program that I'm introducing. I'm almost a little bit apprehensive about this myself because it's going to require me to embrace even more changes, the kind of which I have been doing over the last 3 to 6 months anyway. But ultimately, I know that it will make me a better business owner, you know, hopefully a better husband and a better dad and a better mentor as well. So yeah, fingers crossed anyway. So if anybody wants to apply to upgrade their Diamond membership to Platinum, now will be a fantastic time to do that. You need to email Beth on beth@packleaderdogadventures.co.uk. Ask her for an application form. It closes at the end of August. We start the beginning of September. Yeah, please enjoy your summer, everyone. It's been fantastic seeing how everybody has kicked on since we've started to come out of lockdown. Please remember these premier positioning and premium pricing principles. Never miss an opportunity to increase your prices. Never miss an opportunity to include a piece of marketing and some marketing materials that's going to raise your status among people who are prepared to give you money. And yeah, let us kick ass in the second half of 2020. Speak soon.